Hey, closet busters, come on and gather around. It's time once again to kick down those closet doors of life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemons, bold move expert and coming out coach, and I'm going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloseted. So come on, grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step in to living your truth as we explore more stories, tips, and tricks for living your life uncloseted. Now let's get to the show. Hey there, closet busters and bold move makers. This is Life Uncloseted. I'm your host, Rick Clemons, and this is where we say, screw it. I'm kicking down the closet doors of my life. I'm going to set myself free, and I'm going to live my life uncloseted without any apologies. And sometimes that means you actually have to start at the bottom of the barrel with little to no money and create something out of that. And I know you've heard these stories before, but what you may not have heard is to come out of the closet and be really, truly successful as an entrepreneur may mean, well, you might have to pull some coupons out of your pockets and you might only have a few $100 to get yourself going and also to believe in yourself. Well, we're going to save you some time today and we're going to help you get focused and help you truly understand that some of the darkest moments in life as what brings you to the light of beginning to really step in, let your saving angels help you, and help you find that place where your dreams can truly come true. So today's a little bit interesting uncloset story because our guy that's coming on, my buddy Josh Ellis that I met just a few months ago at Podcast Movement, well, he's kind of a savings angel, and I'm going to shut up and bring him on, and we're going to tell his story of how he uncloseted himself to be a very successful entrepreneur. Welcome to the podcast, Josh.
Rick, thank you so much. It really is an honor to be here. I love being able to have a conversation like this in what, you know, it's a safe space to be able to share the things. I'm prepared to share things. It's kind of funny as I was thinking about our conversation ahead of time, like I'm about to share stuff with you that I think only two people on the planet know, but it feels so cathartic to do that.
Yeah.
It does. It really does. To be able to share your honesty when you feel like, oh, I got to keep up appearances for certain things. Mm-hmm. It does. It's just something that's just so gratifying to be able to say, you know what? I'm not perfect. And let me share with you some things that I've really struggled with.
Yeah. You know, I think it's what's happening on our planet right now. You know, Tim Ferriss is out there right now doing his book tour, and he just came really clean on a podcast with my buddy Jonathan Fields, a Good Life Project. And, you know, Lewis Howes came clean about a year or so ago about some stuff around his sexual abuse that happened to him. And I think it is this thing that we as a planet, we as a conscious world are starting to realize the real beauty in life comes from when we say, okay, this is me. I'm done pretending that everything's rosy.
Yeah.
And let's celebrate the beauty, because there's beauty of, you know, finally coming out of the dark and getting into that space. But this is why I do this podcast, is I want to tell these stories, not just of sexual coming out, but let's get clean, let's get real. So let's talk a little bit about where was that dark, scary space you found yourself in not too awful long ago.
So do you want, is that my cue?
That's kind of like, you know, I'm going to let you run with this. I don't know what I want to say, okay, let's go down. But, you know, there was definitely some darkness that came into your life and you kind of like, okay, I got to figure something out, right?
Yeah. Well, like a lot of other successful business owners, I have had my share of business failures. And while I don't know that that's necessarily essential, like you have to have that, I will say that it's been incredibly instructive and helpful for me. So, you know, I would say out of high school, I joined the Navy for 5 years. I gained a lot of grit there. And then I went to school, studied family therapy, but I got distracted with the whole internet development thing. And so got a regular job, didn't really like it, knew that I needed to make it as an entrepreneur. It was just in my blood. My grandma was a business owner. My dad was a business owner. My great granddaddy, Amos Elledge, if that isn't an old timey name, he sold blocks of ice. He was a proprietor in an ice business. That's awesome. Which just, you know, it's just, I could not divorce myself from my birthright. Mm-hmm. And that is, I just had to create my own thing. So that said, I failed quite spectacularly a few times. You know, I've been through bankruptcy. I've lost not one, but two houses. I've had to go back and live with my in-laws as an adult man, as a husband, as a father to say, you know, sorry, we can't afford to live in this house anymore. And we can't even afford to sell it. It just, you know, I've experienced that. And it put me in a position when, you know, my back was against the wall to really do the uncomfortable things to be able to get stuff done. And so in fact, I'd say my last traditional business before Savings Angel, I had owned a small town newspaper, which is a horrible business to start. Don't start a newspaper, you know, in the year 2001, I think it was what it was. It was a terrible business idea. But I did it anyway. And of course, I failed because I was afraid of selling. I hated, like I would do everything I could except for go and try to get businesses to advertise in the newspaper because I just had this idea of what sales was. And it was an unhealthy idea because I felt like sales was you had to convince somebody to buy something that they didn't really need or really wasn't that valuable. And so naturally, I failed at that. And so my next business was actually a network marketing company. I mean, that was a prepaid legal / Legal Shield. And I mean, I actually did very, very well at that company because it forced me, I had no other way of making money. I'd say, you know, 6-8 months into it, I had to make that my full-time income. So I was out prospecting and out selling and, you know, thankfully, you know, I was able to do okay at that. And we ended up, you know, pretty consistently earning about $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year at that, which is not bad, you know, for network marketing. It's a hard gig, man. It's tough.
Right.
I'll tell you that the most valuable thing I gained out of that was grit. I mean, if I didn't already have it from being in the military, I certainly gained it from having to be put in a sales environment where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like, you talk about being afraid of sales previously and then having to make a full-time income in network marketing. I mean, that's tough, man. That is really, really tough. And so, you know, I'm like, you know, doing presentations to my old boss. I mean, just like, you know, people that I'm like, oh, they are so going to tell me no. And they're going to make me feel like crap for, you know, for even trying to sell them this thing. But I did it anyway. And I did it for 5 years until, you know, toward the end of that, I realized, okay, this was great. This gave me the experience that I needed, but I'm now ready for my real work. And that real work was Savings Angel, which I launched 11 years ago. Now, Savings Angel, our income pretty much disappeared with prepaid legal / Legal Shield almost overnight. I had two of my top leaders left the company and our income went from, you know, $6,000-$7,000 a month to zero, like within 2 months' time. So thankfully, I'd started Savings Angel a few months before that. And again, was kind of in a position. And by the way, I will tell you this, by the way, when you launch a business, I never tell somebody to launch a business where they need to make money from the business in that first year, because you end up making decisions out of desperation. And those decisions are generally not the best decisions. When you can make decisions that are just right for the business, then, and you don't have to take the money, it's just better long term. But in our case, you know, again, back against the wall, I was trying everything I could to make Savings Angel a household name. So thankfully, I had a background of working with the media. So in my case, I just reached out to every media person I possibly could in West Michigan, and enough of them said yes. And I ended up getting myself a regular gig on a local small radio station, ended up writing a column for a small town newspaper. And I would work 12, 16 hours a day in order to make this business successful. And I just started getting more and more exposure, and eventually it started taking off for us. And, you know, now over the past 11 years, we've earned more than $6 million in revenue, and I've spent less than $500 in advertising. Everything we do with Savings Angel is all PR, is I just go out and I serve audiences. A Savings Angel, up until recently, has been a membership-based website. And what we did is we would database everything that all the local grocery stores are doing, manufacturers are doing. We could tell you scientifically how you could get the lowest price on your grocery bill. So our members were saving $300-$400 a month. And it was a membership that was like $16, $20 a month. So it made sense for our members, but extreme couponing, when extreme couponing hit, that's when we had our first seven-figure year. And that was awesome. Like, we have, so like when you go from, you know, earning $60,000 a year to now earning six figures in a month.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nuts. It's, by the way, I recommend it for everybody to,
there you go.
to go through that experience, because it, you really do learn a lot about yourself when you have, when you need for nothing, right? That income is just there. You really find out that money does not change you, but it reveals what's in your heart. So if you're a generous person, you're going to become even more generous. If you're a stingy person, that's not going to change. If right. you're not a giver when you're earning, you know, just regular money, and now you start earning seven figures, you're not going to change. You're going to keep on doing the same thing that you're doing already. You know, in our case, it was all about sharing opportunity. And so for us, we expanded rapidly, because I wanted to create opportunity for me. I wanted to create opportunity for our members, but I also wanted to create opportunity for a large team of team members with savings. We had as many as over 50 employees at one time.
Wow.
Now, the problem with this is extreme couponing, it's no longer like a real big fad. So we ended up going from seven figures a year. I think the next year was one third of that. I think we went from just over $1 million to about 300,000 in the next year. Wow. And then the year after that was like, I want to say like 180. Mm-hmm. And then it was, but meanwhile, we had this big team. Mm-hmm. And so it's tough to admit failure. It's not failure, right? Because it was just we were getting at the end of a product life cycle.
Exactly.
And you can't say, well, Josh, you did something wrong, because we didn't. We rose a wave, and then there was no interest in the marketplace. And so, you know, we tried to create some other things for our audience, but at the end of the day, there was certainly nothing that could support, you know, 40, 50 employees. And so
don't you think this is one of the problems that many entrepreneurs have?
Yeah.
They start with the idea and they don't think future. It may be something that's really good right now, but what are you going to do a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now?
Right.
What's that thing you got to be? And I think it's a challenge. I know for me, it's a challenge, because I'm like, okay, so I've been the coming out guy.
Yeah.
But as soon as I started realizing, okay, there's a wave of this that's happening, it still happens. I mean, it's not like everybody's out of the closet yet.
Yeah.
But how?
I know there's still a few more out there.
A few more, right? And they just all called me this week, in fact. So the holidays are the craziest time. It's like, okay, I don't want to do this again next Christmas. I'm like, great. This is why I do so well during the holidays. It's like, yeah, I don't want to be sitting here a year from now going, okay, I'm still not who I am. But what's so fascinating is, even as I went through this juxtaposition myself, that's how we got to Life Uncloseted. Mm. Like, wait, there's so many people that have other closet stories. There's so many things that people are uncloseting, that this is the next generation. And even though this is just launching, I'm already thinking, okay, so now what does the next generation of this look like?
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is a big piece of what so many entrepreneurs miss. And something you brought up a couple of times is grit.
Mm-hmm.
So what does grit mean to you? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's getting your teeth punched in. It's getting your knees kicked. It's having people tell you no. It's having people tell you that, you know, your idea is stupid. It's not going to succeed. It's doing the uncomfortable thing when, you know, certainly nothing, like you would never contradict yourself ethically, but you do the thing that you know that you have to do, and it's the hardest thing that's required in order for you to grow your business. So, you know, it's reaching out to someone and being afraid of the outcome, but reaching out anyway. It is making it, and I'll tell you right now, this is the biggest thing I see for myself and a lot of other business owners. It's making investments either in hiring people or hiring experts, hiring consultants. I see this a lot. Paying for services where you're contractually obligated for a year. And you know that there's a vacuum in that space. Maybe there's a leadership vacuum in your company right now. And you have to be, if you're really truly looking out for your audience and your mission, we cannot, I firmly believe that it is very, very difficult to build huge, amazing things by ourselves. Like, we need mm-hmm. people. You yeah, need absolutely. Teams. Mm-hmm. And look, people are not, most people are not going to work for free. So you right. have to compensate them for that.
Absolutely.
You might be in a position as an entrepreneur. You're like, well, look, we're now earning $2,500 a month. Thank goodness, because I would really love to take some time off and take a vacation and maybe pay off some debts or bills or whatever. Like, I'm a consumer guy. Like, I get that. Like, I'm all about being financially smart. Yep. But one of my mentors would argue, like, anytime I have a success, he's like, great, tell me how you're investing that, reinvesting that in your
exactly.
business. I'm like, but I want to pay off this debt. And he's like, yeah, you could pay off. Listen, you could pay off the debt anytime. Like, you're paying like 5% interest. Screw the debt, right? You just, like, the debt's going to be there. You're going to pay it off because you're growing. But right now, in order for you to truly get to where you need to be, you need more people. You need more talent. You need leadership. You need smart people advising you on your finances, mm-hmm. on your marketing, on, you know, on every aspect of HR, you know, of culture. You know, these are the things I'm investing in. I'm investing uh-huh. in our vision, our mission, you know, trying to really figure that out, like determining our core values, rebranding. I'm investing in our company culture. I mean, these are all things that I'm like, I'd love that money for myself, but I realize my bigger goal is much more important than my immediate satisfaction in maybe paying off a debt or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you're like, well, wait a minute, I thought the guy was earning seven figures. Now, again, if you kind of followed with me on my story there, we had a lot of employees.
Yep.
We started going in the red. That happens. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't fire people fast enough, and I hated doing that because that meant failure for me. And of course, I also, no one likes firing people.
Of course not.
But we ended up with like, yeah, about 80 grand in debt as a result of not working that, not shrinking fast enough. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's still, you know, today we're now, thankfully, we've got almost all of that done. And I'd love to be like Dave Ramsey, we're debt free, you know,
right, kind of thing.
But you have to understand that there's good debt and there's bad debt. And business debt, if you have an otherwise growth focused company that's doing good things, debt is a tool. It's yeah. not evil, like Dave Ramsey would tell you in that case. Now, you can disagree with me if you want, and you got to do what's right for you. But I'm just telling you, as a consumer advocate, personal consumer debt, I'm pretty negative on, right? Yeah. I'm pretty against it. But when you're growing a business, debt is absolutely a tool that you can use so you can do the stuff that you would not normally be able to do. You can grow a lot faster if you have access to capital. It's why we all want investors, or like a lot of us are like, hey, if I can only get an investor, then I could do all this amazing stuff. Well,
but here's the interesting thing, Josh.
Yeah.
I just love everything you're bringing up right now, because this is such, and this is where the parallel comes in. I don't think most people see this parallel. So somebody, I'm going to go to the whole coming out of the closet sexual orientation
yeah.
thing. Somebody starts that route and they're like, well, I really need some help, but I can't afford a coach or a therapist. Mm. It's an investment. Your ability to come clean and be who you are and step into your authenticity in a logical, safe, sane way depends on how you get the help. It's the same thing as what you're talking about right now about this business. It's a matter of, you know, the investment. And I don't know why people don't get this. I mean, you and I, so coming clean here, Josh and I are talking about how he can help me with my business. It will be an investment, because we're about to swing into what does Life Uncloset really become now over the next 2 or 3 years. And part of that's what we have to do from an investment perspective with my business.
Yeah.
But so many people are like, well, no, but I got this debt to pay, or I've got, you know, I can't afford this. And I honestly, the best thing I have done in the last couple of years is, one, hire a production team to take care of this podcast. Yeah. Two, hire a couple of VAs to do stuff that I don't need to be doing. And I employ these people full time. The only one that I would consider is full time is my podcast group, but they're not really full time because they do it episode to episode. My VAs, when I need something done, here's the project, please go do this, get it out of my hair. These are investment tactics to help you grow. And I think a lot of people miss that. It really stems from what you've been doing with Savings Angel and everything else. It's about looking at your overall sphere of life and seeing everything you do in it as an investment in your happiness, your wealth, your abundance, your all of it. It's all about investment.
Yeah. I really appreciate that, Rick. Yeah. It's tough for me, you know, cause I consider myself to be a pretty frugal guy. So, you know, sometimes it's like, I would, you know, I'd love to have just that cushion in this account or that account or whatever it is. But I know that in order to grow a B quadrant business, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, you need to have a lot of systems. And like you said, you know, so my wife is a family therapist. I'm spending, I don't even want to say how much I'm spending. It's a lot, but I'm spending a week with Tony Robbins next week. That's a huge investment. Yeah. And you might think, I'm listening to this Josh guy and he sounds pretty motivated. Like, what more could he possibly need? I know that there, like every one of us, I don't care where you at, we all have limiting beliefs. We all have stuff that is keeping us from our ultimate potential. You know, you can be incredibly successful. And this is a habit of truly successful people. People who I know earn seven figures, they spend a lot of money on coaches and advisors and consultants in order for them to continue to grow. So
And also in order for them not to make decisions out of desperation.
Yes. Yeah. Because we make a lot of emotional decisions. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I have a CFO, because I want her to say, okay, I'm going to tell you no on that. Like I need, and I trust them to do that. And they're going to, so experts, consultants, coaches, they are going to ultimately speed up the process for you. So you can either, like, for example, so what we do now with Upend PR is that we turn entrepreneurs into media celebrities. Mm-hmm. And we can do for our members in months what would take them many, many years to do just because of our experience. I've been in the media over 2,000 times. I've seen about everything that could possibly go wrong. So I'm going to keep you from doing that. And then we have access to tools and we have a team of people, you know, combined, we've got, you know, 40, 50 years of media experience. And then of course we spend, you know, 25, 30 grand a year in licenses for software and tools. It makes sense to make that investment in us because we'll generate a return on investment for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when it happens, by the way, I'll say it's, you know, because I've also made those investments myself where I'm like, okay, I'm giving this person $800 a month. You know, hopefully I make a profit from this $800. And, you know, so when you put it out there at first, it feels like, oh, you know, makes you a little nervous. But then I'm telling you, when it all comes, like I just hired Donald Kelly, the sales evangelist, to help with our sales systems. Mm-hmm. The dude is a genius. And it was not cheap to hire him. When we got to the other end of setting up all these systems, I'm like, oh, man, you know, it's like easily turned 800 or 1,000. I forget what it was. It was somewhere around I got a 10 times ROI. Yep. Easily from that investment in him.
But I think this is human nature, is we come from a space, it doesn't matter what it is you're doing, what closet you're coming from, you come from a space of lack. Yes. Oh, no, you know, whether it's coming out of the closet about your sexual orientation, oh, people aren't going to accept me, or if it's, okay, I'm going to leave this job because I'm miserable and I'm going to go be an entrepreneur, but oh, man, everybody's going to think I'm crazy. The moment you stay in that space of coming from lack or fear, it's just, I mean, Oprah says this all the time, what you put out is exactly what comes back. And it, to me, it is the essence of, I'm going to put out exactly what I want to get back. Now, that doesn't mean it's always going to happen. But if you operate from the place of, let's put this out in a way and in a manner that says, I believe and I trust and I know I'm going to go with my gut instincts and I'm going to follow through with things that are designed to make my business grow or to help me grow personally, it's so much more effective than, well, okay, maybe I'll give this a try, but I don't know if it's going to work. As soon as you put that last little bit, I don't know if it's going to work, you just told the universe, God, whatever your belief system is, yeah, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. And it takes that piece that you brought up earlier in the conversation about birthrights. And I love that, the way you position that about, you know, birthrights and entrepreneurs. I believe.
I love that. That is so instructive for me. You know, when I make an investment, to just say, you know, to treat it like other people would treat it, like a tithe or something like mm-hmm. that. You know, that's, mm-hmm. I know that I'm going to sow this seed and mm-hmm. that it's going to come back to me 10 times. I just hired a social media consultant as well. And So, you know, that's really good for me to like think mm-hmm. of that. Like, I know this investment, oh, it's going to come back to me 10 times over. Mm-hmm. I love that.
But if you don't think of it from that perspective, you're actually creating even a deeper limiting belief. You know, it's kind of like, I'm sure your wife can relate to this. Well, I guess I'll go to a therapist, but if they can't fix me, then what's the point? There is, you just set it all up for failure right then and there. Yeah. You know, it would be like me coming to Josh and, you know, I'm talking third person here, so the listeners really get this, and saying, okay, Josh, I'm going to work with UpNPR. So there, that's, you make it happen. Mm-hmm. And me stand here on the sidelines and go, no, you make it happen. It's like setting it up for failure. I can't not show up to the relationship.
Yeah.
And I think so many people do that. They show up to these quote relationships. Now, granted, I know in our world where it's a lot of entrepreneurs and, you know, self-help and all this sort of stuff, people have gotten burned. But I think half the time when you get burned is because you walk into this thing expecting someone else to do all the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, in my relationship with my clients, and this it doesn't matter if it's a coming out client or an entrepreneur that I'm trying to help them break through their limiting beliefs. Before we even start, I say, here's the bottom line. We have a great conversation. Yeah, they're ready to go. I said, now, before I even send you the link for payment and send you the agreement and everything, I got to be really clean and honest with you. I will work just as hard as you do, but I will not work harder than you do.
Hmm.
And that is sometimes the clincher that they go, oh, wait, what do you mean by that? And I'm glad when they ask that question and I say, here's the deal. I'm not your, I'm going to steal Tony's words. I'm not your guru. What I am is I'm your collaborator.
Yeah.
And I'm going to help you see stuff, but I'm not going to go dig all this stuff up for you. You're going to have to be in here digging. You're going to have to get dirty. You're going to have to go with me in some of this stuff. But I'm not the guy who's going to sit here and tell you how to do everything. I need you to be in alignment with this. And I think too many entrepreneurs or people miss this piece of, you've got to be in it too. You've got to really truly do it. And when you brought up the word birthright earlier, it made me think of this. If you think you're entitled to be an entrepreneur, you might as well just walk out the door right now, because there is no entitlement in being an entrepreneur. I don't care how good your idea is. You have to see it as a birthright that you've been given, that this is what you're destined to be doing.
Hmm.
And when you can own your birthright to be what you know you're supposed to be on the planet, to me, that's when people are highly successful.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different way of looking at things than, oh, well, I'm entitled to be an entrepreneur. No, I'm sorry. At least my perspective is, if you think you're entitled, then you're not going to do the work. And actually, you're probably going to fail, and you're going to fail really hard.
Yeah. You know, a couple of things you got me thinking on this is, as service providers and as solution providers for clients and customers and members, I think that one of the things, though, that they pay us for is our confidence. Mm-hmm. And so they might be in mystery, like they know what they want and they know other people are getting the results.
Yes.
But they, when they can lean on your confidence, mm-hmm. I think that that is so valuable.
Absolutely.
To say, Rick, I've never come out of the closet before. You have, and you've guided other people through mm-hmm. that process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's probably the most valuable thing you can offer them, is to let them know, you're right. I have been through this process, you know, 50, 60, 80 times now. And mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen everything, and I want you to know that you're not alone in this journey. And I am going to make sure, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to show up, and I want to let you know, you're going to be okay. Right. Like that right there. I was like, boom, that was mm-hmm. like 100% of my investment right there alone. Mm-hmm. You just saying those words.
Mm-hmm. And I think most people, it doesn't matter where they are, entrepreneurs, people trying to save money, people coming to PR, people coming to people that come out of the closet, you know, most of the time, and now my mind is drawn a blank on who I'm trying to think of. Simon Sinek says this all the time about employees in the workspace. Unless you feel safe, they're not going to perform.
Yeah.
And I think this is what most people want, is they want to feel safe, and they want to know in some way you're going to help them succeed.
Hmm.
Love that's it. All we, as service providers, that's what I see us doing. Even, and I'm going to go back to where we met at Podcast Movement. I think most people who are podcasters are in some way wanting to share a piece of themselves with an audience who wants to know, you're going to make me feel good. You're going to make me feel safe. You're going to make me feel okay. And it doesn't matter what the essence of the podcast is. There's some realm of someone that's saying, make me feel like this is okay. It can be, I love mystery thriller books or podcasts. So make me feel okay that this is what I'm really passionate about. It doesn't matter, but that's what I think we are called to do is let's help people feel okay and let them know they're not alone. That's the bottom line. And I know by you sharing some of the stuff you shared here today about your bankruptcies and starting over, those are very vulnerable moments that many of us are like, man, I don't know if I really want to come clean on this.
And Rick, it's tough, you know, and from my experience, so Savings Angel was no longer profitable, but yet I was using the success of Savings Angel to say, look at my successes. I can help you create the same thing. And I got to tell you, that was really difficult for me because there was a part of me that almost felt like I was being a fraud because, well, financially today, I'm not successful. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of valuable stuff,
right?
But that was really hard to be.
Well, it's hard to come clean. It's hard to come clean at times and go, okay, please. And this is why I like when Tony Robbins says, I'm not your guru. He may be that guy, but there's so much of Tony that he's human too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. And you know, one of my biggest moments of coming clean was when I got the call to be on the second iteration of the Ricky Lake show, right after she launched the second show. And I got the call to go be the, coming out expert. Hmm. And I thought, okay, do I really want to do this? And I knew at the time I did. I knew the book was getting ready to come out. I thought, okay, this is a really good move for me. Didn't expect anything. Just, yeah, this is a good move. Let's go do it. Let's have the experience. But I also knew at that moment in time, anybody could have come up to me from my past. And I wasn't an angel. I wasn't an angel in my past life. I had many, many affairs with guys on the side. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I need to come clean with my ex-wife. I need to really, truly come clean. And talk about being scared to death. Mm-hmm. And we were already well divorced. We were 10 years into it, all this sort of stuff. But it was a vulnerable moment. But had I not had that vulnerable moment, I don't think I could have finished writing my book. I don't think I could have stepped forward. And I don't believe now I can handle it when I get the backlash from people that read stuff about that I've written and stuff like that. Because this was part of me being called forth to go do the thing I'm continuing to do, which is help people make bold moves to go live their lives the way they're meant to live them.
Love it. I love it.
But if I hadn't boldly stepped into, okay, I really got to be vulnerable. I've got to be clean, which is really what you've shared today too, is sometimes we got to let people see behind the curtain.
Yep.
So that they understand, yes, you're highly successful. Yes, you're building a successful little empire where you're at. You're wanting to do more. But it doesn't come just with a wave of a wand. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of really saying, okay, this is what's really going on. And I think that's a beautiful thing that you've shared today, Josh. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate that.
I should let you know there is a happy ending to, so Savings Angel, again, is very profitable. Now as just as a traditional blog, we're doing very, very well. So just in case anyone's worried, did it work out okay? Yes. And yes, then UpNPR, our new company, it's very, very humbling how quickly we're growing right now, just because what we do is so unique in the world. And we really solved a major need. We basically created what I needed for over 10 years and didn't exist in the marketplace. And so we're democratizing PR is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we're able to serve an audience that has not been able to be served by the PR world. Basically, we're about 1/10 the cost of what other PR firms charge. And we work just like what you talked about. We work in collaboration. And because we work in collaboration, we don't have to do billable hours. We're a productized platform and we work really, really well.
Yeah, so, exactly. You just said something though I don't want to let go by because I think it's another piece of the puzzle. Use the word humble.
Oh, yeah.
How much does that play to your success?
Oh, geez. There's one moment in our rise with Savings Angel, and I'll never forget this. And anyone who's gone through this experience, when this moment was, when you maybe you looked at your bank account or you just landed like, you know, three sales in a row or something like that. And you felt that momentum. And that moment, it starts to feel like it exceeds the effort that you're putting into it. Like it's starting to grow beyond what you're actually doing. And in that moment, you know, I just remember looking at my computer screen and I think we had earned like, you know, $4,000 in a day or something like that with Savings Angel. And, you know, which is, you know, I think before, you know, like that was an okay month before. Right. And I just remember just staring at that and just being dumbfounded and saying, that was just like one day. And tomorrow is going to be another really good day. And then the day after that's going to be another good day. And I just like, I looked at that number and my brain just couldn't comprehend that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, that's not like gangsta money, but at the time it was huge for me.
Sure.
I remember going out on the back deck. It was, you know, midnight and it was just me and we're out in the country and surrounded by the woods and just the stars. And I remember just looking up and just in that moment, feeling a depth of gratitude that I don't think I'd ever either expressed or felt before. And I truly understood in that moment, gratitude and humility in a way where it was like, you know, you really ask that question of like, you know, why me? You know, Why would you, God or the universe, pick me to do this kind of thing and to experience this level of reward?
Yeah.
And that's when I talk about humility, that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
And that you now have the resources to do things that you've always wanted to do, like support causes and to help people in a way that you've not been able to do. That creates a joy within. I think anybody can experience at any level, but to be able to play at those bigger impact levels where you can now help, you know, dozens of lives instead of maybe just a couple of lives. It's powerful stuff, Rick. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. Awesome. And I want that for everybody, which, you know, our mission now is that I truly believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. Mm-hmm. And I've gone from being a consumer advocate to now being an advocate for every person who deserves to have their story told and to be able to, you know, be on those stages of the world. That's what we're here on the planet to do.
Yeah, I agree. So we usually wrap up by asking this one question. If you could give some advice to someone who feels like they just can't release themselves, they just can't let themselves, you know, we use the word uncloset themselves into whatever the thing is that they feel like, oh, I want to do this, but I just can't. And obviously you have released yourself over and over and over again to lots of different things. What would you like to leave the audience with, a way of just uncloseting themselves?
There is such a beauty in vulnerability. And I think, you know, where we're at in the year 2017, 2018, thanks to people, I think like Brené Brown and others. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a culture of acceptance like there is today. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've only been on the earth, you know, 47 years, but you know, I believe that, you know, there's always going to be the people that are a little bit more small-minded, but that's not who you're here for. Yeah. I think you're here hopefully that they can learn acceptance. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're a part of that story. Maybe you're part of that story to help them to learn to love more. Maybe that's part of your purpose. But I think no matter, you know, when you're wondering whether or not to share something very personal and very sacred to you, I think that you'll find that people will pleasantly surprise you. Absolutely. And this gets, you know, I have my own things I'm sensitive to. And it's almost never as bad as we think that it's going to be. Yeah. And I just want you to know that there are people who will love you, who absolutely love you. Some things might be tough for them to adjust to, so give them a little time, but I promise you that people who love you, they're going to love you unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you need a friend, thank goodness, you know, we've got a thing, you know, we got a great social media thing too. Yes. I mean, never have we been more connected as a people where we can find an audience of people who will support us in that. You know, absolutely. Rick, what you're doing right here, you know, creating this environment, this is a part of that. You're changing lives right now. And so, you know, to the person who's listening to this conversation, I just want you to know that there are people out here that are going to love you for whatever it is that you want to come clean with. If it's, you know, if it's my deal of, you know, your financial struggles and, you know, having that up and down and experiencing that and worried that people are going to call you out as a fraud, they're not. They're really not.
And those that do call you out, to me, it's, then there's a lesson you're supposed to be learning from that too.
Yeah. And a lesson that you have for them.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
All part of the great cycle.
Absolutely. Well, Josh, thank you so much for being on. We're going to have every way you can find Josh, all his social media and everything will be on the show page here. Just thanks for doing what you do too, man.
Rick, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
So appreciate you, man. And that's it. That's a wrap. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end. But don't worry, we'll be back in just a couple of days with another episode with new guests, new tips, new tricks, new wisdom about how you can go live your life uncloseted. And you know what? A lot of people out there may not even know we exist. So if you feel so compelled, share us. Tell people about it. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. Share it from your phone. Wherever you can, spread the word, because the more people that we reach, the better the planet will be when everybody is living their life uncloseted. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of the show, that big, bold move expert and that guy that constantly wants to help people step out, step up, and step into living their life uncloseted. Have a great couple of days, everyone, and we will be right back with you very, very soon. Take care.